Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Just after 7:30 a.m. on May 31st, 2020, at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, a commercial pilot and his co-pilot are taxiing their aircraft when something unusual catches their eye. A massive, black, human-like figure with wings, and it ascends rapidly into the sky. This isn't an isolated incident. Over the past decade, dozens of similar sightings have been reported in and around Chicago, particularly near O'Hare. Witnesses describe a winged humanoid with glowing red eyes, and some witnesses describing a profound sense of dread. But this phenomenon isn't new. It shares similarities with a creature from events in the 1960s in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, a creature that we call the Mothman, and it was linked to a tragic bridge collapse. This is a study of strange. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Michael May. Today, the Mothman, the myth, the legend. Joining me on this quest is Oliver Berger. Hi, Oliver. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael. I'm doing pretty well. Excited to talk Mothman. We're talking about Larry Mothman, my accountant, right?
Yes, of course. So when he files your taxes, does he use a... No, I don't know. So Oliver, I picked you. I was putting this episode together and I was literally just around you and we were talking about Chicago. And I was like, oh, I should have Oliver on this episode because we are going to be putting ourselves in Chicago. You're not from there, but you have a lot of life experience in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in Chicago before you came back to LA.
Absolutely. Born and raised in California, specifically Los Angeles, and that's why I wanted out. So when it came time for college, I was looking at musical theater schools and ended up finding a little school called Columbia College Chicago. I went, and that's where I found out they had a comedy major, or they were working on that with a comedy studies program through Second City, and I decided that that was going to be a good use of my time. And so I then spent 9 years in Chicago doing improv and performing at the different theaters and getting used to it. And the big thing that I learned was every year the winter would come and every year I would say, this is my last winter. And then that 3 weeks of summer came along and you're like, oh, this is why I'm here.
Yeah.
And then winter came again. So finally turned around and the final winter was too much. So I packed up a U-Haul and moved back to California.
And you've been here for 60 years since, right?
Yes. Now look at me.
Yes.
Oh, God. I was beautiful once.
You look great for your age. So while you were in Chicago, did you ever see the Mothman?
You know what? I wasn't actively looking for him, but I also didn't see him. Saw a lot of drunk people at Wrigley Field, though. A lot of drunks.
Maybe they're getting mistaken for the Mothman. I don't know. We will discuss.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Breaking the case.
So
how we met is you're currently working out of a place I used to do a TV show at. So we've met. And I just want to share this with the audience. So you write, you do a lot of different things. But one of the first things I noticed is that you were working on puppets when I first met you. And I was like, all right, whoever that guy is, he's okay with me.
Oh, shucks. Yeah, no, I've been a puppeteer and a puppet builder for about, 20 years now. And so I've been doing that, and it's been a passion. It's basically you get to be a live cartoon. And when that's the option, that's something that I thoroughly enjoy. As far as getting to build the puppets here, we're at a place called Practical Magic, and they have been nice enough to let me build my puppet shop again. So I've been working away, making some zany, crazy characters for our company, Broken Genius.
Yes. And I'll provide links to whatever Oliver wants to share in the show notes so you can look him up. Otherwise, we're going to dive into the Mothman now, Oliver. I should start with a very simple question, which is, do you know what the Mothman is? Are you aware of some of its history or theories or anything else?
You know, honestly, the only Mothman I was aware of is like the Appalachians style Mothman. And it's funny, I never associated it with outside of that area.
Yes, and most people don't. And that's what's been so interesting about the Chicago sightings, which I'll dive into a little bit. So let me back up to that. So I'll give a little bit of history about the Mothman. And it all started in November of 1966 in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where two young couples from Point Pleasant, Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Mallett, I think is how you say their name, said that they saw this large man-like creature with glowing red eyes flew down at them when they were driving their car on the outside of town. It had expansive wings. They said it was near like 10 feet long, the wingspread. And it basically chased them away from this area that was near an abandoned munitions site known as the TNT area. And one of the descriptions that I feel no one ever mentions, and I found this looking back at the original newspaper thing, is they described it as having white wings. And you never hear that anymore. Nowadays, it's always like the Mothman is dark. All completely.
Well, it was different times back then.
Different times, different styles.
Different times, different styles of Mothman.
Exactly. But it did pursue them for a short period of time before they drove away. And the story got shared. And also what's most commonly, what is not shared as often is a better way to say that, is that there was this bit of like local hysteria when people read about this. They gathered like firearms, guns, and went out to this area to find this creature to like hunt it down.
So I have to ask, if it was found at a former munitions plant, and it spiked a huge purchasing of munitions. I'm not going to lie, it kind of sounds like a Scooby-Doo sort of scenario right off the top, if it weren't for the fact that it hit someone's car.
Yeah. It was very much a Scooby-Doo situation. And I think everybody kind of wanted it to be a Scooby-Doo situation. I think they wanted to show up and find somebody dressed in an outfit, you know, or something. And like, hey, why are you scaring the kids? But they never did. And sightings suddenly peaked. Like suddenly a lot of people are seeing this strange creature, eyeballs and windows or things flying overhead. And this all led to a disaster. December 15th, 1967, when the Silver Bridge collapsed in the area during rush hour, resulting in 46 deaths. Some locals believe the Mothman sightings were an omen of this impending disaster, a harbinger of doom. And this whole story was popularized by journalist and writer John Keel in his 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies, which was later adapted into a film with Richard Gere, which is actually a really good movie.
I was going to say, any relation to the movie, but there you go.
There you go. And Keel, the writer of that, I'll just quickly mention, because I think this is fascinating. People in the same genre as my podcast will know his name. He is the first one to coin the term Men in Black. So that's just a fun tidbit from Mr. Keel there. So there are theories around the initial Mothman sightings. Some people speculate that because he was first seen by this old munitions area, even though it was completely abandoned, they're like, oh, there could be chemicals or radiation or something that's causing hallucinations, things like that. And many other theories that are more on the skeptical side of the Mothman think it could be
pro versus anti-Mothman.
Pro versus anti, or just trying to figure it out. So there's people that think it could be sandhill cranes or owls. Sandhill cranes are very large birds, but they're very skinny. That's where a lot of people that
they don't have glowing red eyes.
Well, here's the thing. I have some personal experience with sandhill cranes. And I had this before I was aware of the Mothman story.
Oh, I always forgot that you fought alongside one as a large panda. I forgot about that.
Yes. You should have been aware of my experience doing that. But anyway, so I grew up in Florida, and
at a period of time in the year, the Sandhill Cranes would come in and they would be there for certain, what I can't remember, it's the summer, the winter, whatever, but they come in for a certain time of year. I grew up on a golf course in a, like a golf course community. It's Florida.
And it shows.
Thank you. And the Sandhill Cranes were really interesting because at night, and I had friends that lived in the neighborhood, so I'd walk or ride my bike or whatever at night. And if you saw them like on the golf course nearby, like by the street, I would think they were people sometimes. And so a lot of people are like, it can't be a Sandhill Crane. They're too short and whatever. I'm like, no, if you see them at night and you can't quite judge distance and size and you see this weird thing moving, especially if it flaps its wings or whatever, you're like, oh, Jesus, fuck. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
And that happened multiple times to me growing up. So I do think there is some validity to thinking that could be cause for some of the sightings, maybe not all of them, but it's some of them. Owls are also far larger than people realize.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've had experience with owls where you literally go like, oh, well, this is it. That is the harbinger of doom.
Absolutely. Like, I'm going to die. And especially if their wings spread is out, they can get to 5.5-6 feet long. And their eyes are more human in like where they are on their heads, basically. And if a light reflects off the eyes, they can look like they're glowing red. So there is some validity to that. To that skepticism, people that are more quote unquote pro Mothman think that it could be something supernatural that is trying to warn people, not necessarily attacking people usually in the thoughts about Mothman. There also have been these sightings across time near and close to when some big disasters have happened, like Chernobyl and Fukushima and other bridge collapses. There's these like random accounts of people seeing Mothman before they happen. I will say you can't confirm those accounts. That just typically happens in like articles. It'd be like, oh, people saw the Mothman before Fukushima, and it's like, okay, but who, where's that evidence? And it tends to be one of those like internet things.
Yeah, my cousin Larry changed his transmission right before the earth shook,
so he caused it, is what you're saying.
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Before we get into Chicago here, Chicago, I drifted into it. I just wanted to sort of reiterate that people have this either zoological thing, like Bigfoot, it's just a creature we've yet to discover, or this sort of paranatural. That's right. I host a show.
Paranatural. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Paranormal creature that is sort of more interdimensional or something like that. All right. So, Chicago. What does this have to do with the Mothman? Well, about 10 plus years ago, around 2011 is when it starts, but suddenly a lot of sightings around Chicago of a Mothman type creature begins appearing, and usually around the O'Hare Airport area.
Wait, you said 2011?
2011 is kind of when they relatively
start. So literally the year after I arrived. So I want to be clear, I'm not the Mothman. This is not an exclusive with the Mothman.
Wait, hold on. You may not be aware of it. When did you leave Chicago?
I left Chicago in 2019.
So that's about the time that the sightings start to dip. I think we're on to something.
I'm not the Mothman. I want to be perfectly clear. That's not what I am. Just because I like to get dressed up with large wings and flutter near large lights does not mean that's on me.
I think you're missing something here, Oliver. You're not seeing it from the perspective of people around you. You're thinking about it from yourself. I think we're onto something. I think we figured out why the Mothman was in Chicago. And
there
it's all
it
due to you. Oh, man. Well, that's the end of the episode. We figured
there
it out.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is a breaking story here on this podcast.
I did not expect that. That is awesome. So anyway, so let's ignore that Oliver is the Mothman. Let's look at it from more
acquitted.
Of a, yeah. So in Chicago, I'm going to go over some of the specific encounters and history of when this started, and rumors, like I've already mentioned, about the Mothman in Chicago first surfaced around 2011. And this is documented. There's three main researchers that have been compiling these stories. I'll provide links to all their work in the show notes. A lot of people that are skeptical of this don't believe these guys. I actually think they're really fascinating people, and I like a lot of their work, even though I am also a skeptic of the Mothman. And there are now hundreds of sightings of the Mothman in Chicago, sort of informally. More formally, there's like 85-ish, like formal, like talked to a lot of reporters, tried to share information. Some of them have snapped photos. Just a lot of sightings. So a story where it kind of started is around October 13th, 2011. Where were you, Oliver, on October 13th, 2011?
I believe I was outside of DePaul.
Okay, so maybe it's not you.
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha! So on October 13th, 2011, there's a story from a gentleman who took a photo of this bat-like man-looking creature. And he describes, oh, shoot, Oliver, I made a mistake. And I'll leave this in. October 13th is when he shared his story, but this allegedly happened on August 22nd, probably when you were in Chicago.
Damn it, that's when I was near O'Hare.
Yeah, exactly. So according to this man, he was traveling through the suburbs of Chicago and he came across a local business with this tall sculpture of like a Native American on its roof. And he thought it was interesting. And he snapped a photo of this sculpture and then drove home. Again, I host a show.
He drove home.
He later noticed going through these photos that there's a winged creature off in the distance flying. And that is the first sort of where the Chicago sightings sort of begin, is with this guy when he's sharing this photo and sharing the story. In September, a woman was awakened terrified because her roommate was screaming. And she went to go talk to her roommate, and her roommate said there's something with red eyes looking for through her window. Her third floor window, mind you. The roommates.
Yeah, that's typical Chicago. The third floor really screaming and making a bunch of noise right there in the morning. Here's the thing. That's the most believable part of the story, is that the third floor neighbor was making the most noise ever.
Yes. To add to the story, though, is the roommate that sort of calmed the woman who was terrified down, then left and through another window saw something that looked like a face with red eyes looking in. And yeah, this is what's fascinating about these stories, by the way, because I do not believe in the Mothman. I love these stories. I love these accounts. But all the accounts I'm going to share today, and a lot of the accounts that anybody can look up on Reddit and YouTube and mm-hmm. some newspapers and other things I can link to, all the accounts seem very legitimate. I think people really did experience something or see something. It's just, okay, is it a, you know, a reflection from a brake light? Is it... You know,
because here's the thing. When I think Mothman, when I think the phrase Mothman, I'm assuming it's a human-sized moth that keeps pounding against the window or a light. Because like we always like picture him like a lurking or like a like appearing. Yeah. There. Really, should just be hitting the thing over and over until you turn the light off.
Yeah, I mean hey, that's kind of why it fits. Because a lot of people are like, why do they call it a Mothman? It's like a person with like wings. It could be a Batman. Maybe there's a
also not issue. Me. I want to be clear. Just because I moved to Gotham does not mean.
Yeah, it could be the Owl Dude or you know the Gargoyle Man.
Come on, I told you that in confidence.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. So I do want to say that as much as the common story here is that in 2011, some sightings around Chicago of this Mothman-esque creature start showing up. You can actually trace reports of a similar creature to much earlier in the area. And that is where you and I are going to do a scene, Oliver.
Ooh.
So this is a fictional recreation. I have to describe that a little better. So this is I'm using the real dialogue from this gentleman, Gerald, who you're going to read, who saw something in 1957 in the Chicago area that is very much akin to Mothman. Where this interview is fictional is he didn't actually do this telling it to a reporter. He shared it in recent years to one of the gentlemen who's been investigating these Mothman sightings over email and phone calls. I've just changed it to a sit-down thing, just to be honest about what I'm doing. All right, so I'll read the descriptions in the reporter. You'll read Gerald. You good to go? You feel good about this?
I absolutely will. It'll be Gerald from Chicago via way of New York. Let's have fun.
Absolutely. And before we dive into it, you're much smarter than I am. Do you know how to pronounce Gerald's last name?
Ooh, I'm going to say Geraldson? No. Tirizes?
There you go. I'm going to go with that. So when I'm wrong and I get emails about it, people will complain about you.
Tirice.
Well, yeah. To rise. Okay. All right, here we go. A reporter sits in Gerald Terize's living room. Gerald is a lively 79 years old and enters the room holding a cup of coffee, which he hands to the reporter. Thank you.
I can't say I make the best coffee, but it does the trick.
Gerald sits in a worn lazy boy across from the reporter. So you were telling me about this creature.
Yeah, I realize this story is a little late, but I never really knew who to tell my story to until I came across your article and the man who saw a birdman at O'Hare Airport. It was around 1957 when I was with my late brother Gene and his brother-in-law. We were hunting. We went walking in this large open field. There was a lone, large tree standing in the middle of the field. And when we were directly under it, a huge, man-sized creature sailed over our heads and into the woods across the road. We were stunned. We just looked at each other, just too dumbfounded to speak.
That was it? Are there any other details you can share?
Yeah. The winged creature had a body of a large man with legs, but it was covered in the whole body with like dark tan-colored feathers. It happened so long ago, I don't really recall the face or what it looked like, but I'm glad I get to tell the story to someone who has a knowledge of such a creature before I die.
You're welcome, I guess. I don't know.
Thank you. And then I flatlined. My last admission.
So I love the idea that this something has been seen in the area before, like the notoriety sort of started happening and where the mass media started looking at it. There are many other earlier accounts that some researchers have put together, which you can read about. I'll provide links in the show notes, specifically on asingularfortean.com, which is a great site I've used in the past for other topics. But he has put together basically a timeline of sightings, which is really fun to go through, and you can link to news articles and interviews and all sorts of stuff like that. So yeah, so the Mothman may not have shown up in 2011. It may have been there the whole time.
So here's the thing. When I think of Chicago and the Mothman, I'm a skeptic as far as this sort of thing goes. However, I also think about the way Chicago's designed and that area. And sort of the whole shtick of that city, and if there was going to be sightings, how it would make sense for Chicago to have that happen. Chicago okay. is a flat city. It's literally, you go up high enough, you could literally see the entirety of the city. And then the rest of, like, just it just stops.
Right, right.
And so I it's funny because you get to O'Hare, and just after O'Hare, the city just stops being a city. It's like these large parks type things that are very wooded, but it's flat. It's yeah. like a lot of freaking nature right out there. They also have giant creatures called cicadas that come around every once in a while. So it's like they're used to stuff flying around and that sort of thing. And that doesn't really surprise me. But also in the winter, it's quiet. Like it's quiet and very pristine. Mm-hmm. So like seeing something that doesn't quite make sense, it's very noticeable. So it's interesting to hear like that this could have been happening.
Yeah, yeah. And also we'll get into some of the Chicago accounts here in a minute, but a lot of the sightings when this all sort of picked up, starting in 2011, it kind of culminated. The peak of the sightings was in 2017. There were like over 50 sightings that year that was reported. And a lot of them were from pilots. Like there are pilots, there's a story, I don't think I have it in my list I'm going to share, but there were pilots coming in to land, and they saw this like distant thing
at O'Hare.
At O'Hare, yeah, and they saw this distant thing looked like a man, sort of off towards the end of the runway, and then suddenly the man just sort of lifted up and looked like it had wings and like flew away. And it was a pilot and a co-pilot that saw it. There's been a lot of other pilots and like security people and people working on the runways that have seen just weird things that are looks like a giant, more human-sized shaped bird-like creature.
You know what's crazy? I'm actually just starting to realize I had a buddy that worked at O'Hare on like the baggage team, mm-hmm. and he mentioned something like that around.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
That's so fascinating because one of the big questions, I literally have it written in my notes right here. Why the airport, Oliver? Why? Tell me why the airport.
Here's the thing. First of all, it makes sense that it was O'Hare over the other airport. It's the better yeah. of the two airports. They don't want to.
They're Midway,
not gonna go,
right?
Yeah, they're not going to go off of Midway. They're going to want to make sure that they're going off of O'Hare. You know, it's interesting. O'Hare, to its credit, is sort of at the end of the vast majority of the area that has been developed. And as the city spreads out and as the city continues to build outward, they're clearing away a lot of brush. So I guess that kind of makes sense.
But
you would think that it's like, if they're giant screaming metal birds flying down, you wouldn't want to get near those. But I guess at the same time, if you're watching things take off and land, and here's the thing with Chicago, you'll see the planes circling the city.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to land, it doesn't really matter if you're anywhere near O'Hare, you'll still see them landing and that sort of thing. So I guess if you were a flying creature, that would be where you would go to be like, what the hell is this nonsense?
Yeah, that's a good point. And honestly, it kind of goes down each theory, right? Of the people that think this is some kind of cryptid, like undiscovered creature. And it also fits into like, maybe it's a large bird that's being misidentified because of distance and lighting and all the other things that go into sort of misjudging those details. And so it kind of fits into both of those, I would think.
Well, I'll say this. The city of Chicago likes to play God a lot. Their whole shtick of like, they reversed the flow of the Chicago River. That was an entire thing. They went, this river goes one way, not anymore. And then they reversed the entirety of the flow of the river. And like they every St. Patrick's Day, they dye an entire body of water green.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's some weird stuff. And I've always said that the color green that they dye, it looks like the secret of the ooze.
It does. It really does. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's interesting because it's like, I think back to like walking back from comedy theaters at night and like you would see massive owls. And I mean like giant owls flying around.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you would like, and there in the summer months and depending upon when it was, you'd see bats mm-hmm. and like you'd see stuff. And the other thing about with Chicago famously is they love to drink.
Yeah.
It is part of that city's DNA, and part of it's because it's too cold to go outside, so might as well figure out a way to make it bearable. And one of the biggest areas where the next area where they wanted to develop into like a social nightlife area is next to O'Hare. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, where it's like Rosamond and dealing with like that area.
Yeah.
If that's that sort of thing. But at the same time, there's a lot of traffic going into O'Hare.
It's one of the busiest airports in the country. I have been delayed in O'Hare more than in any other airport. And I didn't really think about it until you pointed it out. But it seems most airports are outside of cities. You kind of like got to go outside of the metropolitan area, where O'Hare seems like it's like in a more developed area, which is interesting.
Well, that's only recent. Like, and even in my time out there, we saw a giant expansion of that area because originally it wasn't really that. But I'll also say this. Other airports, like we're in L.A. right now. LAX likes to call itself a world-class airport. How they're going to fit an entire Olympics through that thing, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is a lot of airports that I've seen are very bright mm-hmm. and like love to throw a ton of light. And O'Hare really doesn't. It's sort of like it's an old glass and like old glass building.
Yeah.
It's kind of oldish. So it doesn't really have that modern build out of like, hey, the future is bright.
Yeah.
It's more along the lines of like, quickly get inside. We'll get you to the city you need to go to.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it is very dark surrounding that area.
Interesting. I love your comment about the owls, because that is one of the theories, that a lot of these sightings are just misidentified owls. And if you're seeing a lot of owls in Chicago, that is worth taking note of. So
yeah
interesting. Do you want to read a sighting?
Absolutely.
So I think you can just read whatever that first little thing is.
All right. So this is sighting number one. I live in Northern Illinois, and back in 2017, I was driving home from work around 10:30 p.m., and this huge creature was flying straight towards my car, but it pulled up at the last second. I thought it looked like a gargoyle. I had no idea what else it could be. The creature looked completely black, and I couldn't make out any other details. It all happened so fast. I was on the backcountry roads, so it was pitch black outside. My husband convinced me that it was just a bald eagle, but this makes me wonder.
That is pulled from Reddit. I forgot to write down the user. I will try to look that up or provide a link to that so people can find it. One of my favorite aspects of this story, and I don't do a lot of cryptid stories on my show, but I do think the Mothman is relatively fascinating. And I do think the fact that like Chicago had this huge splurge of Mothman, so to speak, sightings in recent history, that it's fascinating. But there are so many accounts on Reddit that all are really interesting, including this one. And I like small ones. Whenever people like describe too much, I'm just like, you're either bullshitting or you totally did something like, no, that's like not passive. What it is. Yeah, where it's like these kind of passive things are really fascinating to me. And so that's one of them. There's another one from the Chicago subreddit, not from like a Mothman subreddit, which, do you mind reading the second one there?
Absolutely. I need to put this one out there. Sounds ridiculous, but I swear to God, the promise whoever reads this, it really isn't. Last night, my girlfriend and I saw this giant bat, human bird flying thing over us, over around Lincoln Park, on Arlington Street, just east of Clark. I'm 6 feet tall, and this was like well over that. Its wingspan could have been twice mine. I have nothing to gain, from making this up. But what I really want to know is, has anyone else seen this thing? I tried reasoning and rationalizing it with myself. I tried to think about what my eyes saw and what they've seen. It was definitely wasn't like a person, but it was like a bird or a bat. It was like far bigger. It's the biggest thing in history. Please private message me if you want.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. So just,
you know, it's funny. I know that exact area.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. And it's, first of all, it's a very Chicagoan thing to start a story and tell a story and be like, for clarification's sake, I was at this location, like by this stop or by this train.
Yeah.
And like, it's you're right. It's that sort of thing where it's like, they're giving just enough details where it makes it sound like it's a real thing. It's not being like, it was the Pope and he had reptile eyes and a large curly mustache. And you're like, okay, well.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But I also have a question.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know what year the Cubs won?
That is a great question. I'm not a baseball fan, so I don't. Let me look it up. Cubs winning.
Because I was there. I just don't remember. And my buddy Ethan is going to be livid that I don't remember this.
2016.
Okay, so you said 2017 was a lot of the...
2017 was the peak, but there were still some sightings in 2016. I think the account you just read was later than that. I didn't write it down, but if memory serves, I think it was 2019.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking like if it's a Harbinger thing, but I got to ask, could this sort of be like a mass hysteria and the general unknown grabbing onto something? How to the Baskerville style?
Yes. So that's one of my theories, and not just mine. There are many other people that think that too. And so I sort of put that at the end of various things this could be. It could be misidentification of owls or giant birds or, you know, just misjudging size and distance, which is super easy to do. The other thing is mass hysteria, which I look back and I mentioned it with the first Mothman stories in 1966, where like the town was like, rabble, rabble, rabble. Let's go get this thing. Well, of course, if the whole town is doing that, people are going to think they're seeing it. And so I do think when these stories in Chicago started to get press, I do think it caused more sightings because people are now thinking about it. When you think about something like that, you think you see it, especially when things are at dark in the distance. Like a lot of the photos that have come up of like, could this be the Mothman? They're really far away and they're like zoomed in. And when you're, as you know, in digital photography, you're getting weird pixelization. If you try to use AI to like make it more high def and clean it up, well, AI is just creating information. It's not using what's really there. So right. It's making something look like a wing that may not have been a wing and so on and so forth. And
there's also like, you can capture dust in the air. It could be something that's sweeping by the camera.
Absolutely. So I do think mass hysteria, that's one of my favorite theories for this, just because I think people get really into it. And they are. People are really into it. People are still sharing stories on Reddit on these topics constantly of like, oh my God, I saw this thing. In fact, here, there's a story I came across researching this from a woman named Laura Jane Gray,
And Lady Jane Grace.
Lady Jane. And this is just on the Instagram, and I think this was within the last year, but she tells a story where she's just laying on her porch in Chicago at night, and this giant human-shaped thing flew overhead. And she said it sort of flew almost like a Superman pose, but then it also kind of flipped over on its back. And at one point it went like almost standing and was like stopped in the air for a bit and then left, which is really weird. She also mentioned it had a tail. Not all sightings mention tails. A lot of people say it doesn't have a tail. Her sighting, she said she thought she saw something that looked like a long tail on the creature.
I'll also say this. It wasn't rare in Chicago to see very advanced helicopters.
Ooh, okay.
So there's the kind that start as a, it's like a helicopter into a plane.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, that kind of contradicts the whole O'Hare side of it.
It does.
You wouldn't get anything near there. But at the same time, the idea that someone's just laying out on their patio and like their porch, that is very Chicago. that's a very Chicago thing to do. But at the same time, I think owl.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I do too. And I think people that don't think it's an owl, or even like the Sandhill Crane thing, when I was researching this, and that's one of the theories that I've brought up a lot today, but there are people that are like vehemently against that. They're like, no, Sandhill Crane, that's tiny heads, their eyes are little. Again, just because I have personal experience with seeing them multiple times, being like, oh, Jesus, like your eyes and your brain, we're humans, we fill in gaps of, well, there's of also information.
There's cranes in Chicago too.
Yes. Oh, there are. There's big cranes and big owls and things like that. So I do think that's why, again, I think there's validity to just misidentification. I'm not saying it's every sighting, but I do think there's misidentification. I do think cranes could be that as well, especially when they have like 6 foot wide wingspans. Like you see that, you're going to think that's bigger than it is, especially depending on the angle and stuff that you see.
Right. But also on a calm night, when you're not expecting something, like when you're not really paying attention, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden this large creature that it not only is silent, but is just hunting.
Yeah.
So it's like, and Chicago has a rat problem, much like most metropolitan cities, but like there, when you start to get out towards the Gold Coast and start to get over towards Boys Town in that area, you're going to see a fair amount of like rat sightings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not New York rats where they have their own zip code.
Right.
Like they're like, they're pretty decent sized rats.
Yeah.
So the idea that there are a lot of owls flying around,
it makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It does. So here, I'm going to share a story. This is not a quote verbatim story, but it's one that I particularly liked just because I think it was kind of scary and I like scary things in an eerie sort of way. But there was a pilot that shared a story where he was staying at the airport hotel before a flight out the next night. And he leaves, checks out of the hotel, gets in his shuttle. It's driving through the O'Hare, you know, whatever, the maze, whatever you call it, to get into things. And as he's on the shuttle out of the window, he sees up on railing on like this building next to him, there's a railing that's up high, and there's a creature crouching on the railing, and it's like put out its wings, so to speak. And the pilot, even though it's crouching, the guy's like, you could tell it's this huge thing. He thinks it looks like man height, and the wing spread was just giant. And he said the thing that was most shocking and scary are these like red eyes that seemed to reflect, and it looked like the creature was watching his shuttle as it drove by, and the eyes kind of followed him, and he was just super weirded out and didn't know what it was. And when he got off of the shuttle, he kept looking back in that direction to be like, oh God, is it following me? Is that whatever the thing is? Did it fly this way? I don't know. And he didn't see it again after he drove by. But again, it's that quick kind of witness account. It's that, which I think, I really think this guy saw something, you know, it's like that little bit of thing with just the right amount of information.
I know that shuttle. I know the hotel he's talking about. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like here's the thing. If there is one circling an airport, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's they're watching things take off and land all day long. It makes sense that they would feel at home. But also just in general, the reflectors and the things like that, that are on the ground and on poles around the area, they're going to be reflective. So it's going to be like bright red reflection. And the only other thing that I could think of, on a lot of tall buildings that are near airports or buildings that are above a certain height, they have the flashing red light.
Mm-hmm.
And that flashing red light if it's foggy, if it doesn't make any sense, if it's positioned next to a flag, for instance.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah.
There could be a silhouette that comes along and you could be, it could look like it's looking at you because it literally is just rotating.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, the fact that they're all around O'Hare is crazy.
It is. It is. I'm going to share one more story.
Please.
It's a little longer, and this comes from Phantom and Monsters, a website. I'll provide links to it, run by Lon Strickler, who is one of the main researchers behind the Chicago Mothman, who's been compiling interviews and talking to witnesses. And I'm going to read this. I've edited it very slightly just for time, but it's still a little bit lengthy, but I'll read this guy's account. And this was from the Muckwanago, Wisconsin. So I wanted to share this because it also just shows that Midwest lake area, even though it's
a lot of weird stuff up in Wisconsin.
Yes. All right. So here's his story. I was sitting inside my car, which was parked facing north in the driveway at my home, located between Eagle, Palmyra, and Muckwanago, Wisconsin. I had been having an extended phone conversation with an old friend on the way home and had not gone inside the house yet, and remember looking at the radio clock at approximately 10:45 p.m. I looked up briefly from the dash of my vehicle and momentarily noticed someone who was very, very, very tall and very dark just standing in the rain about 5 to 10 feet in front of the vehicle. I did a double take and was suddenly thought, wait a minute, what the fuck was that? I was looking at a creature, for lack of a better term, that essentially looked like a 7-foot bat reptile of some sort. The head was at the level of the roof of my minivan, or slightly more elevated than the roof, and it was standing perfectly still, just staring right at me. Its eyes were large, and although they were dark, like large black eyeballs, there was a glint of reflection in them which allowed me to discern that they were, in fact, definitely its eyes, slightly reflective, light skin or scales of some kind, not feathery or fur covered. I realized that it actually had huge wings, but they were wrapped around its body exactly as a bat wraps its wings around its body while sleeping upside down, except this thing was standing right side up, looking at me, or almost through me. And let me just say, it definitely seemed ominous. My initial reaction was to tell my buddy on the phone that I was looking right at a giant bat dragon. I noticed that it seemed to very quickly move, although I did not see it unwrap its wings or walk per se, but there was simply what I will describe as a brief blur in the headlights, and it was gone.
Well, that makes sense. The thing was cold.
Yeah, gotta wrap up. It's the Midwest. And
it's got a layer.
It's got a layer, don't you know?
Oof-da. It's just got a layer, yeah. Don't you know?
All right, so...
Well, but that's another one. It's almost as if whatever the creature is, it's observing things that are moving that have light. So it's like the commonality of all this is that it's taking place at night.
There are some during the day. In fact, that first photo that sort of started the whole thing in 2011, that was during the day. So that's kind of, that is interesting. But again, it's really far in the distance.
Right. But I'm saying the ones in the Midwest specifically.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of them are at night. If this,
most of them are, yeah, for sure.
If you're connecting...
Yeah.
Things, which the humans tend to do. You look at the fact that all of the stories that were involved here, with the exception of the woman on her balcony, on her porch, were around a vehicle that was moving.
Mm-hmm.
It was moving, then it stops, then it moves again. And one could think that it could be like an animal basically being like, what is this?
That is very true. And
I don't understand.
That is a good point. And I do want to mention one thing, too, that we haven't come back to, but there's a lot of thought that the original, quote unquote, original, the OG Mothman from Point mm-hmm. Pleasant, West Virginia, was this harbinger of doom, or someone providing a warning, creature warning that there's a disaster coming. And so people brought that up with Chicago of like, if the Mothman is real and that is a thing, what is it trying to say about Chicago? I'll say the Point Pleasant thing, it was a year. People started seeing Mothman. A year later, there's a disaster. Chicago, as we've now pointed out tonight, this has been going on a long time. So I am not one to jump into that bandwagon of like, oh, Chicago should be worried. But it is scary to think about. That is for sure.
It's also, there's a line in there of that last story. It almost, it felt like it saw right through me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was looking right through me.
Yep.
There are things in this world that we haven't discovered and haven't explained. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm not saying I believe in ghosts and ghouls and monsters and tomfoolery with that, but there are things that we straight up just don't know about. The Appalachian Mountains are a large expanse of area where we have not necessarily seen all of it. They're the bottom of the ocean filled with creatures that can best be described as nightmares and a half. But at the end of the day, we as humans keep adapting into these different environments and assume that we now know everything of that area. So for Chicago, I mean, the disasters in Chicago, there really aren't that many, but the winters get real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, if this is a harbinger of like a snowstorm or a terrible like lightning storm, the lightning storms are insane. And there are some tornadoes that do touch down. You know what? Now I'm thinking about some farther out towards O'Hare is where those alarms tend to go off sometimes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But then again, planes, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me of that last story specifically is the idea that the person didn't see it walk away or fly away. It was just a blur and then it was gone. So the question is whatever this thing is or whatever the species is, one type of creature, or are there multiple types? But at the same time, the fact that all of these things keep coming back to these factors can only make you think that it has to be something in common.
Way to perfectly wrap up the episode, Oliver.
And it's certainly not me in a suit. I want to say that again, that it's not me. I'm not the Mothman.
I'm keeping an open mind. I don't know what this thing is. I think you're onto something by mentioning how it could be a variety of things. And I'm definitely keeping an open mind that it might have been you the whole time as well. But that's my job as host of A Study of Strange, is I have to keep, even when I'm skeptical, I have to keep an open mind. And I'm always willing to learn something new, Mothman. So on that note, is there anything else you want to share? Do you want people to find you anywhere? What do you want? What do you want, Oliver? Tell me.
I want? I want people to leave me in my moth suit alone. I would love, you can follow me on Instagram, Oliver A B E R G E R. And, just keep an eye out. And if you happen to be a fan of just enjoying puppets and things like that, feel free to reach out.
Yes, as you should. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This is a fascinating topic, very odd, very strange.
And, but so am I.
And so am I. Thank you for being part of the strangeness.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a flight at O'Hare to catch.
Thank you for listening to A Study of Strange. If you're interested in this topic of Mothman in Chicago, there's a lot of accounts, there's a lot of information, way too much to share in one episode of my show. So I'm providing as many links as I can think of in the show notes. Check those out. A very special thank you to Oliver Berger for being our special guest today. And hey, if you like this stuff, you know what? Check us out on Instagram at A Study of Strange. Until next time, thank you and good night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.